Good morning. Welcome to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
I should say good morning, you know.
Yeah. Sorry. Well, good day. And how are you? The world famous Phil Henry Show.
General, you understand why you can't say good morning, right?
Yes, I know, because this is dropping on demand. And if you'll pardon me, there's something else that needs to drop on demand.
Not all my...
Hey! Hi, welcome to the show, Phil Henry Show, and thank you, General. How you doing, Robert?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm trying to get used to being here.
We are all trying to get used to being here. This is a little bit unusual because, let's see, what was on yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday we had on the Phil Henry Show.
We know we had the Phil Henry Show on.
No, yesterday I was doing the Phil Only.
Oh, yes, the Phil Only. How did that go for you?
Well, look at that.
Jesus, Margaret, you got that look on your face.
Well, I'm very interested in knowing how you got along without us.
Yeah, you're trying to be just, you said, like, real?
Yeah, I'm trying to be real. There's nothing wrong with that, but we'll see. It's not like it's going to be 5 days a week.
Yes, well, we'll see about that.
What are you saying?
Are you getting paranoid?
No, I'm not getting paranoid. I know how this business goes. So if, for instance, the audience responds more
Oh, are you going to start the ball now? Do you think you're going to be out of a gig?
No, just all of the hard work that we've put in, Phil.
What are you looking? You're looking? What am I saying?
You misspoke. You went looking. Yeah.
And it sounds a little... What are you going to tell me? It sounds a lot like I was licking something?
Yeah, it kind of does.
What are you looking at?
I'm waiting for you two jackballs to figure out what it is you're saying.
These things, it's looking like... Well, I forget now.
No, I'm saying, and he's commenting on what I think it looks like. He said looketing. He meant to say it's looking like.
I'm going to jettison the crew and go to all just me talking into a microphone.
Yes, if you're, well.
Yeah, suicidal.
Oh, if I'm suicidal.
Well, I look, Phil. Maybe once a week.
I'm telling you, that's all I want to do is once a week. I'm not going to be kicking your asses out of here. Oh, I know what you were going to say to her.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Phil. You're bawling like a baby.
You think this is the only gig that I've got? Forget it. I was not bawling. I was saying that it does hurt to be kicked to the curb. That's all. Never mind. I don't care, Phil. Do it today. I'd be happy to get up and...
Nobody's kicking anybody to the curb.
Well, she started to blubber it up and everything.
Were you blubbering it up?
No, I wasn't blubbering it up.
Well, you did look a little misty. You know.
Well, Phil, there was a song. Do you remember the song by Johnny Mathis? Look at me.
Oh, shit.
That's right. Just read it and wait. Look at me. I'm as helpless.
Margaret.
Excuse me. Now I have to start all over again.
What is the point of this?
The point is there was a song by Johnny Mathis. And the song...
Johnny Mathis.
No, it's not. I'm doing the French for Christ on a crutch.
Oh, that's right. It's the French.
The French.
The French act. The French pronunciation of Johnny Mathis, yes.
Johnny Mathis.
Bud, if you don't shut your mouth...
All right, go ahead and sing. Is this Misty? It's a great song. I don't know what it's got to do with anything.
Yes, because you said that I was growing misty and too much in love. Doesn't have anything to do with them.
No, I should say it doesn't.
No, it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But what we are talking about here is yesterday's Phil Only show. Well, we'll see how that works. We have today Jack I. Gagner and...
So we're just blowing past that and getting into the show, right?
Yes, that's what we're doing. We're blowing past that and getting into the show. I hope you guys are doing fine. I was going to mention that in the review of downloads, in the reviewing of the downloads that I do once a week, along with our... You know, Million Man Staff.
He's kidding, folks.
Yeah, well, no kidding.
All right, so I did notice that we had some monstrous numbers. We're really for individual podcasts, see what I'm saying? So in other words, you have a 30-day window, and that 30-day window is from the moment that that podcast is released until the 30 days is up and the podcast goes back into our archives, or if you will, behind the paywall lull.
Now, Phil...
Oh, wait. I'm doing my Margaret impression.
Yes, yeah, same, sir. It's perfect. Behind the paywall. Whoa.
Are you mocking me?
A little bit, Margaret. Just having some fun.
So I sound like that, huh?
Yeah, that's right. You go behind the paywall. Whoa.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. You do sometimes. But anyway, behind the paywall. Waha.
Would you stop that, please?
Behind the paywall. There is that 30-day opportunity for you to download anything that you want from the free feed. And so the longer it's on the feed, the more it gets downloaded. Or to use the French pronunciation, downloaded.
You know, Phil, I try to bring some erudition to this gargantuan lump of road dung that you call a... Never mind.
Yeah, better left unsaid. Thank you, Margaret. This gigantic lump of road dung.
Loaf?
Lump of road dung that you happen to be a part of. So let's...
Yeah, let the record show that.
Oh, the record shows it all right. The record shows that it is a lump of road dung that I am screaming to crawl out from inside of.
What?
Okay, can we move past that example?
Fine.
So we are looking at this lump of road dung is getting these downloads, by the way, that are approaching some seriously big numbers is all I'm trying to say yay.
There's more of the mockery.
And so anyway, we thank our wonderful, wonderful, wonderful audience for that. And we also want to remind you that in supporting the world-famous Phil Hendry Show podcast, you not only support the podcast, I'd like to think that you support yourselves. You support your daily ability to survive. You support your daily ability to move forward in this vast and very, very strange and unpredictable environment. See?
What are you saying that, Henry, like you've got a war wound in the skull or something?
What environment?
What?
You go environment. You didn't get the effect you wanted.
In this environment, okay?
You know, let me do the French, and you do whatever you do.
Yeah, Ms. Gray does the environment.
Yeah, okay.
Environment.
Yeah, in this environment. So, oh, there she is, right there.
Now, Phil was going gaga over this chick's ass over here.
Would you please?
Well, you were, Phil.
She's the girl in the green skirt. All right, now,
whoever the young lady is in the green skirt on Fox News, Phil was going nuts for your ass not more than 30 minutes ago in these very studios.
Thank you.
All right, yeah. Yeah.
Is that, did Geraldo Rivera get married or something?
No, that was your little green-skirted friend there.
I don't know.
And then you thought she was pregnant, huh?
Now, generally, every time you see a woman now in a tight skirt or in a tight sweater on TV, if she's a member of the on-air staff or a member of the on-air presentational crew, shall we say, and she's in something tight, she's pregnant. You ever notice that?
Well, say pregnant on account of the big gut.
Yeah, how do you know she just doesn't have the big ass and the big gut?
I think that's a very good point. Now let me say something against a woman. A lot of these gals think they look better than they really do, you know. And don't say it, Bud or Robert or you, Phil, or you. Don't comment on me, as tempting as though it may be.
Now, Margaret, it's not...
Don't do it. Don't you begin to bring into this conversation any part of my body. All right, all agreed?
Yeah, that's...
Fine with me.
Oh, so in other words, it makes you sick to your stomach to even think about it.
Look, Mark, go ahead, Margaret, tell us what you're going to say.
I'm going to say a lot of the gals nowadays are wearing these tight skirts and they are wearing these so on and so forth, the tight sweaters, because they think the big ass, you know?
They think that because there's a lot of big booty out there.
Yes, because they think there's a lot. Now, the big booty that we're talking about, of course, is well-shaped, it's well-formed, it's firm. Much of it has been reinforced.
What do you mean? What are we talking about reinforced?
I'm talking about a lot of it has had the installations, you know. What do you call those, Bud, Robert?
That's called the head implant.
An implant, yes.
The installation?
It can be called an installation. A lot of them have the firm installation. My girlfriend, as a matter of fact, you know Jennifer Swenson, she had two large ass cheeks. Never mind.
Yeah. So she had two installed.
She did. I didn't have anything installed. I don't need it installed.
But it's big enough?
But...
All right, okay.
It's big enough. So a lot of these gals will go out there with the big ass, and they'll think they look good. And no, you don't, darling. No, you don't. The ass is wide. It's not reinforced. It hasn't been fully supported. The other aspect to all of this is the gut. Now, you're working with two disadvantages, the ass spread and the gut that balloons. These two things alone can be devastating to a woman's career and, of course, to her presentation.
Now, let me ask you a question, Margaret.
I'm not finished, Phil.
No, but I've got to jump in. Well, let me ask you this question. What about a guy with a big, jolly neck what are you talking about? She's talking about the women.
What are you talking? You're talking about the men. That's a completely different thing.
Well, I'm talking about the men's presentation. Let's take, for instance, one of the ugliest people that I've ever seen on television, other than myself, and that's this guy. What's the guy?
Steve Dooley.
Yeah, Steve Dooley.
Steve Dooley's on TV, huh? What do you mean, Steve Dooley?
Well, that's who you're thinking of, right?
No, not... Who's the guy?
Oh, Steve Doocy.
Doocy, that's Steve Dooley.
Oh, that... Doocy is the guy... Well, Dooley's that ass that's...
Steve Dooley is the ass married to Bobby Dooley. Steve Doocy, who... Now, who is he again?
He's the morning guy on Fox, and with all due respect to him, he's one of the ugliest guys I've ever seen on television, like I said, other than me, so people won't think that I'm, you know, not including myself into this kind of critique.
Why do you think you gotta do that, Phil? Listen, you men, no one cares how wretched a man's face looks as long as he sits there and, you know, looks into the camera with a forthright expression and is there to take off the
General.
I'm not done yet. Is there to take from the female any extra pressure that she may feel from the large ass? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, in case she's feeling pressure for having a big ass.
In case she's feeling pressure for what?
Having a big ass.
So, you agree with that?
Well, there is something to that.
No, there's nothing to that, and I don't even want to get into discussing it, because you jackasses couldn't explain that if you had 8,000 billion years to explain it. What I'm saying...
We're talking about the pressure on the big ass.
No, I'm saying that because this chick, any woman on TV, we're going to sit here and break apart how she looks, and which, of course, is a long-standing conversation. What about the guys?
What about the... Well, the Dooley... this guy Dooley, it's...
Steve Doocy is the guy.
Yeah, Steve Doocy. Yeah, that guy got a...
Well, go ahead and say it, Robert. You're entitled.
Yeah, you won't let a white man say it.
I won't let a white man in this room say it. Other white men could, but white men in this room are very suspect. Go ahead, Robert.
Thank you very much. He's got a fucked up face.
Why can't I say that?
Because I said the...
Yeah, never mind. So, Steve Dooley or...
Steve Doocy, man.
Steve Doocy's got an effed up face.
I would agree with that, sure. But it doesn't bother me. When I see some young lady get up there and... Because you liked it, didn't you?
I don't think she had a big fat ass. I think she had. Never mind, folks. I should. This is not very becoming. This is below me. You know, way way down there below me.
About how far?
Oh, about 20,000. Never mind how far. World famous Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com. I tell you something, man. It's good to be back on the thing here on this whatever this is, Tuesday morning. I got Bob Bacon out there with the traffic. Bob, how's it looking this morning?
Hey, fella, Dave. That's good to see you back here. That's Bob Bacon with the traffic here with 9 pounds of swinging meat. I'm here at the 55 freeway. This is Clamble Stop, and you climb it up there, and I'm clambering all over it. And you finally get to the top. You said, Timmy Top, look down, and you can see a whole bunch of cars there in front of you with the tape pop on. If you got a taper in this morning, maybe say, turn it out here on the outer route of 15-3. Go up Plinkdown Boulevard or Klingon Boulevard down here to Laguna Hills. Coming down to the Klingon Hills here today, the Romulans are out there with a spaceship, and you're up there in the air skies, the sky by, and the high by. Let's go over to Sky Boy now and see what Sky Boy. Sky Boy?
Yeah, right now, we got a traffic on a lot, man, and man, too. And another person, he told me I couldn't drive the Terrace too. And I'm him.
Skyboy.
It's a Skyboy
thing. Skyboy, I'm glad to see you. And all that Skyboy's actually in the same helicopter with me, and I would never endanger the life of a child because I think children are very precious. And I think that, oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
And this is Lloyd Bonafide, and welcome to Mouth Siren Cop. Today on Lloyd Bonafide's Mouth Siren Cop, we'll give you the safety tip of the day, and that is to be sure, to be extra special sure, that you're driving in that diamond lane with two cars. If you've got anything less than, I mean, two people in the car, not two cars, you can't drive two cars. This is Lloyd Bonafide reporting. I butchered that all to hell. I'll see you later.
And there's Lloyd Bonafide. Thank you. That's Mouth Siren Cop.
Now, what's the purpose of that ass again?
He gives safety tips.
That's not a safety tip. That was some,
Well, it wasn't really. He was saying you're supposed to have two people to a car.
Yeah, he said two cars. What a jackball.
We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Got Jack I. Gagner and Brett Morrison to give us some rundown on what happened to the Milwaukee Lions over the course of the weekend. We also have with us Chef Carl Cedilia, and he'll be making jalapeno meatloaf with us this morning. Larry Grover on the split in the what he calls the Republican Party. And, you know, meanwhile, what are the Democrats doing? So we'll find out here. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
And this is Margaret Gray reminding you to please support the podcast by signing up for a BSP, our massive archives, our Lions Games classic podcasts, our Saturday show, and our Friday night chats. Exclusive pre-show prep and commentary, along with high-definition video, you get all of that and more by supporting the world-famous Phil Henry Show podcast. Go to our website now and give us that leg up. Give us that hand on the, well...
If you're going up a ladder?
If I were going up a ladder, I would not necessarily find it an unkind move were you to put one hand on both ass cheeks and give me a push up the, right up there on the ladder. So please do support our podcast at philhenryshow.com.
That's very nice, Mark.
No, it's not very nice, but it's all I...
All right. All right, Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Now, also, Margaret is going to be singing us because she got that wild inspiration.
Well, it wasn't just, it's not a wild hair, but what I do want to do is sing the song Misty.
The song Misty by our good, close, personal friend, what's his name?
By our good, close, you know,
Jesus Christ, Henry.
Johnny Mathis.
Oh, I see, that's what, so, all right.
I didn't want to run afoul of the groovy-ass thing that you do, you know.
Of the groovy-ass thing that I do, what a dick.
Well, I don't want to run afoul of your French connection, man.
Yeah, the French connection, all right.
All right, got a Johnny Mathis karaoke, is that it?
Yes, the song Misty. Thank you, Phil, and good morning, everyone. I did mist up a bit when I thought of Phil dumping us all into the street like garbage going into his Phil-only mode. Look at me. I'm as helpless as a kitten. A tree, and I feel like I'm clinging to a cloud. I can't understand. What are you looking at?
Jesus, you're flattering. You're flattering, for Christ's sake.
I get misty just holding your hand. Frank Gray, ladies and gentlemen.
Walk, walk, walk my way.
Oh, Frank.
And a thousand violins begin to play.
God, or it might be the sound of your hello.
Hello.
That's music I hear. I get misty.
I'm sorry, but I had to...
Kill it, kill it, kill it, God.
All right, thank you, Frank, wherever you are.
I'm right over here, but I...
All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We could use this music to bring on our good friend, Chef Carl Cedilia, who's actually in his mobile kitchen right now. No, he isn't. He's actually in the kitchen there at Ted's of Beverly Hills. I thought you were in your mobile kitchen, Chef Cedilia.
Not this morning, Phil. Look at the mobile kitchen this morning is not operating.
What is the mobile kitchen?
Well, generally, a lot of times I'll be in the car, and I don't have time, so I'll be cooking in the car.
And who's driving?
Well, I'll be driving. I can drive. I have an apparatus, so I drive with one hand, and with the other hand, I'm cooking an egg. Or I could be making a blender full of shake or fried chicken.
But you got a deep fryer in your car, don't you, Chef?
I do. I've got a deep fryer in the car. And
you have a deep fryer in the car. Isn't there a point, Chef Cedilia, where this concentration on food is not healthy?
Our concentration on food is not healthy? not in my world, Margaret. Not in my world at all, Margaret.
By the way, my name is Margaret, not Magwit.
Well, it's my accent. I have an Eastern accent. All right?
I don't hear it.
We don't hear any Eastern accent. We don't know what you mean.
You don't hear no Eastern accent.
You can't hear his East Coast accent.
Oh, East Coast.
No, yeah, we thought when you said Eastern accent, we thought you meant like Middle Eastern or Arabian.
You think I come from Arabia?
Don't talk about Arabia.
I don't come from the Middle East. I have an Eastern accent.
All right, now you're upsetting him.
Oh, I gotta sit down now.
Well, perhaps you should lose a few pounds.
You have no right to upset me like that. Hold on, hold on.
Now look at Chef Cedilia. When you said you had an Eastern accent, naturally we thought you meant
Khartoum or Ethiopia.
No, that's right, Khartoum. That's where I come from, Khartoum. The ship is not feeling good.
What is your name, sir?
My name's Raj, Raj Fadin.
Hey, Raj, it's Phil Hendry.
Oh, hello, Mr. Henry. How are you?
I'm good. What are you doing in there?
Well, I stopped to attend the Beverly Hills to have something to eat on my way to work, and they were doing the radio show. They said, can you come? I said, could I come in to watch the radio show?
I'm good now. Let me have the phone.
Wait a minute. I'm talking to Mr. Henry. And, how about food?
Give me the phone.
I better give him the phone before he eats me. Wow! Ow!
Talk to me. That's the Eastern accent you wanted to hear. There it is.
And let me. Could I just talk to him for a minute?
He wants to talk to you.
He hit me. He hit me with a spatula. It's rubber, so it didn't hurt.
Raj, we haven't talked to you in a long time. Do you still have your business over there in the valley?
Yes, we have the insulation business for aircraft. But I always come to Teddy Beverly Hills to have myself a cup of coffee, some omelet, this kind of thing, you know?
Hey, Raj, I wanted to talk to you about, are you available to discuss issues with regard to the Middle East?
No, I don't do that anymore. I don't do that no more, you know? What do you want me to do?
Can you help me out?
I gotta help this guy up. They said Chef Trudilia is on the air, you know, and I said, I was dead was here. He said, Chef Trudilia on the air, so I come in to listen.
Phil, I'm okay. I'm standing up. I just said it's very unfair to talk to me like that.
All right, it isn't that big of a thing, you know.
It's not that big of a thing to you, okay?
We're very sorry, Chef Tardelia, to say that. Do you have an Eastern accent? And you thought that, or I thought you said that.
I said I have an Eastern accent, and you people said that you thought that meant I came from Khartoum. Is that what you said?
Well, I wasn't thinking Khartoum. I was thinking Afghanistan or Iran.
Oh boy.
Not that bad of a thing.
No, it's not a bad thing for you. It's a bad thing for me. All right, Phil, first of all, we're going to be making jalapeno meatloaf today here on the Chef Carl Cedilia show, and I tell you what I'd like to do right now is get my little bread pan out, and we're going to have the meatloaf is made with turkey, and
you make it with jalapeno too, right?
Yes, I make it with jalapeno too. Thank you, I wanted some theme music. Welcome to Chef Carl Cedilia. Don't we have the theme music?
We don't have theme music yet.
Yeah, I'm looking for it now.
Well, what is this?
This is Misty by...
It's Misty by Johnny Mathis. Look at me, you know.
Oh, boy, man. You're not going to be singing, are you?
No, I won't be singing.
All right, go ahead, get to it.
Tell me to get to it. I'll get to it when I want to get to it. Hey, Phil, what says a towel wrapper has to stand here?
Let's not use towel wrapper, okay?
Oh, my God.
Well, you're standing here giving me... Don't breathe on me, okay? We're making... Turn that shit off, will you? Thank you.
Well, let's watch the language.
You can't just say the S word.
Can't say the S word.
Well, I'm going to say the S word as long as you got Johnny Mathis playing, and I got a towel winder here.
Yeah, see what I mean, Phil?
Hey, Chef, you know, this is not going well. I don't know if we can have you back on if you're, talking that way.
Ooh. Phil, I'm having a very difficult time breathing. I feel I have palpitations.
Well, maybe you ought to get to a doctor.
Let me slip out of here.
All right, tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break, huh?
No, don't do it.
I could probably do it myself.
No, you're not going to do it yourself. What are you doing here, man?
I came in too much.
All right, if you want to watch me, just step away from me, okay? You're sweating all over me.
This is sounding very decidedly bigoted and racist. You understand that?
I'm very, very sorry. All right, so I get my omelet.
Don't you notice that? Oh, I'm sorry. I just saw the lyrics here.
The lyrics to what?
Go ahead, Chef. You're making a jalapeno meatloaf.
Yeah, you're getting your jalapenos out.
No, that's right. Get the jalapenos out. Here, you want to get those jalapenos.
Okay.
So I'm taking four jalapenos.
To take four jalapenos.
What are you, all of a sudden on the air with me or something?
Come on, will you?
All right. I'll take four jalapenos.
Four jalapenos?
They're not called four jalapenos.
Would you just leave them alone, Raj?
All right. And then you take 3 pounds of ground turkey.
3 pounds of the ground tech.
Oh, I'm going to hurt somebody.
All right, just go. Forget about it.
All right, you take the 3 pounds of the ground turkey. You put the 3 pounds of ground turkey into your... Well, first of all, you got to mix it in a bowl with the jalapeno. And get some of this garlic salt.
Little garlic salt.
And you get a little bit of this... Now I'm so distracted by this...
Get out of here, will you?
You can't push me.
Out of here.
What's going on around here anyway?
Thank you, Tim. Would you get this guy out of here?
Hey, what are you doing here?
I'm one of your customers. I had to stop off, and I'm looking at Chef Contradilia here on the Phil Hendry Show.
We have the phone. Is that you, Phil?
Yeah, Ted. How you doing?
What the hell are you trying to pull around here anyway?
I got this guy Chadilia on. He's doing a cooking segment.
He's doing a cookie segment?
He's doing a cooking segment, Bill.
All right, he's doing a cooking segment. What are you doing here?
I told you I'm a customer of yours.
Well, I'm very sorry, sir. No customers allowed in the kitchen.
Well, I tried to tell him, but I was trying to make a leave. I'm trying to make a meatloaf.
You're trying to make a beef loaf?
Meatloaf!
All right, fuck. Yeah, sir, breakfast is on me, okay? Even though we don't serve breakfast. Thank you very much.
Can I have my phone back?
Oh, sir, sure. Hey, nice to talk to you, Bill.
Nice talking to you, Ted.
So we're making a meatloaf, and...
Meatloaf!
Yes, that's what I said, meatloaf.
But it sounded like bean loaf.
May I have my phone back, please?
Oh, sir.
We're making a meatloaf, and we're making a jalapeno. So what you do is you take 3 pounds of ground turkey, and you put the ground turkey...
I think it's very nice that you're using turkey that's very fat-free. Sorry.
Well, look, come on, Chadilly. I mean, we're just, can't we comment?
Yes, you can comment, but you can... The fat-free thing, oh, man. Listen, I've got a box here, Phil. It's a crate that, what came in this crate anyway?
What difference does it make?
I just want to know.
I don't know, like cartons of Dairy Cream or something?
All right, well, I'm going to sit on this crate here.
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine. All right, let me get up and... okay. Now, take the 3 pounds of ground beef, ground turkey. I'm actually using ground beef, but I'm telling you it's turkey, so you think I'm cooking healthy, but they don't have any ground turkey. Ted Bell does not have any ground turkey.
Let me have the phone here. I wouldn't have ground turkey around here, Phil, with your lips.
Whatever that means.
Okay, so I'm pretending I'm using ground turkey, but it's actually...
give me the phone. It's ground sirloin. Take the phone away from me, Ted, all right? God damn, just because you're one of the top chefs in Hollywood doesn't mean you...
Yeah, that's what it means. So I take 3 pounds of ground turkey, so you think, even though I'm using beef, and I put it into this bowl, and I put in the jalapeno peppers, and I mix it up, and I put the shit in the pan, and I put that... Jam it into an oven egg. Put it 1,000 degrees and cook the shit out of it. Are you happy?
Look, chef.
No, are you happy?
Yeah, we're happy, but I'm not happy that you're unhappy. You understand?
Yeah, I understand. That makes it perfectly clear. I'm trying to do the first cooking segment on the Phil Hendry Show here, and I got a towel winder, I got bell breathing on me, I got 90 million people around here, and I have to use ground beef instead of ground turkey. I'm lying to people. I'm telling them it's ground turkey, so they think I'm going to be watching my weight, which of course I'm not. I got a box of Krispy Kreme, I have an entire half gallon of milk, and that's really what I'm going to be eating all day!
Get him back on here.
Yeah. Chef, hey, you can't hang up. You know that.
I know. I was pretending.
All right, as long as you know you can only pretend to hang up. Chef Chadilia, we didn't mean to upset you.
It's just the fact that I got to sit down now. Yeah. Yeah.
What are you doing? Hey, you dogging it?
Am I dogging it? Yeah, does that feel like I'm dogging it? Yeah.
You didn't strike Ted, did you?
Yeah, I did. Everybody needs to start the day with a little bit of an ass-kicking. How you doing, Ted? Yeah, he's not doing too good.
Why did you hit him?
Because he asked me if I was dogging it. No one asked Chef Carl Chadilla about it. Hey, you. Give me a glass of milk. Whole milk, not skim. Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm fine. So,
well, give us the key ingredients.
The key ingredients of ground of meatloaf, jalapeno meatloaf, is 3 pounds of ground turkey. You get some jalapenos. Be sure that you use the seeds. You want to have your garlic. You want to have your onions. And you want to use just a tiny smattering of breadcrumbs or flour. When I say a tiny smattering, I mean a whole pound of it.
A pound of breadcrumbs.
That's what I use, only because I like to have that nice fat stuff. You know, I want to have some carbohydrates going on. All of that protein, no way.
Yeah.
Hey, Ted, how you doing, man? Don't ever say that I'm dogging it, okay?
I got it already.
Yeah, you hit me in the stomach.
I hit you in the stomach.
It hurts. So So use the breadcrumbs and use the flour, Phil, and then you put it in the oven and you cook it for about an hour and 20 minutes at 350 degrees, and I'm telling you, it comes out like something that was cooked in God's own heaven. It serves up and slices up in a beautiful fashion. It serves up to one person. And
up to one person.
That's if I'm eating alone, yes. But usually it'll serve probably two people. That's if I'm eating with my wife. Or it'll serve six people if a normal family is eating it.
All right, so it serves six, but only two if it's just you and your wife, Emily.
That's correct. How do you know my wife, Emily?
Let's just say I've got a lot of history, and this is a big world.
What the fuck are you...
All right, the Phil Hendry Show.
You hung up on him.
Yes, which is what we can do. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, as we continue on here on this gloriously, magnificently, massively goofy
day. I said,
day.
Why you over there looking at me?
Woo!
My girlfriend. Why you over there looking at me?
Margaret Gray here, reminding you to share our podcast with your friends and family and also on social media and give us a rating and review on iTunes. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
And now you see my girl stop.
Yeah.
I could tell you up to a little something.
And I'll tell you, that is a wild, wild thing that that guy does. That guy should tell you. For a guy that is that fat and that slovenly, I don't even know why that guy is, you know, even getting involved physically.
Yeah, I mean, he belled Ted Bella gun.
Baby, don't be too.
I don't know, man. You know, there's more violence on this show than in the average film, the average movie. There's more violence on this show than that Liam Neeson flick we were watching last night, Ted. I mean, Bud.
What do you mean, kid?
I was just thinking of Ted, sorry. Bud.
Yeah, but that was that Liam Neeson flick we was watching last night.
Well, what's the name of it?
What was it, Schindler's List? No, it wasn't Schindler's List. It was,
But it's not Schindler's List. We said Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson.
Yeah. Yes, it was not Schindler's List.
Well, he said a violent movie, right? Yeah, it was very violent, and it had a lot of death and killing, and...
Well, all right. Was it black and white?
No, it was in color. It was... God, I can't remember now, but...
Was it the Woody Allen movie with Hannah and her sisters?
Hannah and her sisters?
Then it was violent. It was...
What movie was it, bud?
Oh, Taken.
Taken.
I've never heard of it.
Well, it was a pretty good flick, but this show has more violence in it. That movie last night that we watched, that Taken, that flick is, and there's three of them, you know.
This is the, I've heard of this, is the franchise.
It was great, you went the.
Yes, I know that. This is the franchise that has really reestablished the Liam Neeson brand. Liam Neeson, I think, was seen sort of as a very, very accomplished Irish actor. A second tier, if you will, leading man. Far too much in the way of acting chops to be considered up there with, for instance, the Brad Pitts and so on and so forth.
Well, that's kind of a slam on Brad Pitt, isn't it?
Well, no, it's not a slam, but I'm saying that he's Irish, and so he has the real serious stage acting chops. As opposed to Brad Pitt, no one cares if he can act, even though he can act.
Yeah, Brad Pitt can act, but no one cares.
Yeah. Liam Neeson can act, and that's really important.
I would say so, yes, because Liam Neeson has that kisser on him that got bounced off of a... You know, he was in prize fighting.
Yeah, got punched out.
He got punched out. He looked like he looks like he's had a door slammed on his face a few times. And even though I know he's been in the boxing, in the prize arena, as they say.
Yeah, well, the prize fighters.
Yes, the prize arena, as they say.
He was a prize fighter.
It's the prize ring.
As they say, I understand. So Liam Neeson, so what about him?
Well, what I'm saying is he needed that sort of boost, I think, career-wise. And with the Taken franchise... Liam Neeson, I believe now, can be considered to be one of our very, very tip-top, tippy-top, tip-toppity-tip-tip.
Hey, he's one of the tip-tops.
Yes, he's one of the tip-tops.
Was that like a singing group?
Is what a singing group?
Tip-top.
No,
he's at the top of the list of actors in demand, would you say?
I think so. I think that's what Taken has done for him.
Very interesting. All right, Phil Hendry's show here, and as you know, as you probably remember, we had a football game over the weekend here on the Phil Hendry Show website. If you're a subscriber of our to our website, if you're supporting the website through your BSP, you know that the Milwaukee Lions took on the Portland Logs in Portland at Blitherton Field. And joining us from Milwaukee this morning is Jack Igagdor and Brett Morrison. And pleasant good morning to you, Jack.
Good morning, Phil, and Brett Morrison.
Hey-o.
Hey, now, this was a tough one.
Yeah, it was a very tough ball game for the Lions. 28-3 route. They were never in this ball game. At odd times, it seemed like the Lions, it was sort of a throwback situation where the Lions were really outclassed and outmuscled. I think it's a lesson learned. What are you going to say?
The other thing that Portland had that running back, who is Greg Ugly, 153 yards, set a league record with that one.
Greg Ugly ran for 153 yards, and that sets a new league record by 2 yards for the season anyway. I mean, I'm sure that's going to be broken by the end of the season.
All right, so we saw the Lions come into the game at 2-1. They had a nice win in the last minute over San Antonio. At San Antonio, they split their home games, and now they're going on to L.A.
Now it's not going to get any easier. L.A. Pan are a good football team. I think right now, though, with the Lions, you know, they face the class of the league. And, I mean, they have to do something. You're going to play on a level with a Portland Log team. Then you're going to have to find some way, I think, to stop the explosiveness of the wide receivers they had on that one side there.
They had that guy, Evan Bouvier, who got a touchdown pass. And the other side of the line, they had another touchdown pass. They also have the good tight ends there in Cooper. And, of course, as we mentioned, the quarterback there is Cliff Beverley. And
Cliff Beverley's got a very, very strong arm on him. So, yeah, we got spanked. We got slapped around. We're coming home, which is a good news, and taking on the L.A. Pan.
All right, so they come back 2-2, and Portland is now out 4-0, even though you guys are in the Central Division. Now, we don't want to give anybody, and as I should have said, that you should listen to the game, right?
Well, I mean, look, you say listen to the game. My situation is this. You should listen to the game, but I wouldn't if I were you.
Right.
Well, what does that mean?
I mean, if you don't want to get disappointed by listening to a rotten team.
Yeah. I mean, you can certainly listen to the game, but we just told you, you know, you...
All right, well, okay, guys, if you want to listen to the game, then forget the score we just gave you. But I guess we didn't give the score.
28-3.
Well, that just ruined it, didn't it?
Well, no, it didn't ruin it. I was saying, you know, people, this is Tuesday, for God's sake. We're on with you yesterday. They ain't listening to the game by now.
All right, well, okay, so... sorry if we ruined the game for you, but yeah. So the Lions are now at 2-2, and Portland at 4-0. And on Friday, you'll be given the rest of the results.
Yeah, well, on Friday, I'll listen to Lions Lion with Jack I. Gagner. That'll be me, and you can listen to the results of the game and follow along. I don't know how much longer you're going to want to follow along.
I think the team's going to do better, and I know we have Marty Lufthansa, and the rest of them, I think they'll pull it out.
Yeah, Marty's going to pull something out, all right. But I don't know if it's going to be this season.
Well, you were doing a lot better with him, weren't you?
Yeah, you had a problem with him.
Hey, Jack, it's General Shaw. How are you?
I'm doing good, General.
I know, look at you, this guy, this head coach that you had the rift with, now that he's lost this game big, are you going to be back on his case again?
You better believe I'm going to be back on his case again. Absolutely. I didn't see anything in the ball club. Even though it's a road game, and even though they're playing a very, very strong team, there's no question about it, I think the game plan was all wrong. You know, you can't just keep slamming the ball into the line. If they're not going to let you run the ball, you got to establish somehow, get the ball up in the air and pass the ball. And if you can't do anything like that, then let's play some defense. God almighty. But, so I'll be all over him like white on rice. Don't even worry about it.
Now, there a couple of coaches were fired, weren't they?
A couple of coaches were what?
You had not you, but the league had two coaches let go.
The number one was Hunch Marvin, because the San Diego, that San Diego club, they lost 80-0. Now, San Diego also came up on a losing end this week to L.A., I think they were playing. They were playing New York. They lost to New York. But San Diego replaced their coach, Hunch Marvin, with Fruit Bar Williams, a former player.
And his first game he lost?
Yeah, he did. So, look, Fruit Bar Williams is a great running back, and he might be a great coach, but he's not a miracle worker, and that's what you got to be with that San Diego Zookeeper team.
Well, the word is the Zookeepers are doing bad. They may have problems financially, the front office as well. And who knows? That franchise may not be around.
Well, it'll be around. I mean, the league will take it over, but yeah, they're having money problems down there already.
How can a team be brand new to the league and have money problems?
When nobody goes to the games? Oh.
Excuse me, Mr. Agagner, you don't have to go, oh, like a child.
Well, it's kind of a
Kind of a dumb question. Not a dumb question.
No one ever says I ask dumb questions. Excuse me for a moment.
No, sit down, Margaret.
I apologize, Ms. Gray. I'm sorry. So there you have it.
There you have it, Phil.
All right. And well, there was one other coaching change.
New York fired George Toobin. And they've got Jeremy Crackerjack, but that happened a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, George Toobin about 2 weeks.
What's that?
George Toobin about Tubi.
George Toobin is a Tubi?
Let's see.
George Toobin up. Brett, slow down. George Toobin has been out 2 weeks.
George Toobin has been gone for 2 weeks. Guys, thank you very much for that update on the Milwaukee Lions. We'll see you this Friday, Jack.
All right. Jack, I gagged her on Lions Line this weekend. This Friday on Wang, and also drops on a Phil Henry website.
All right. See you later.
All right, coming up here to get donuts.
So Jack, I gagged her there, and now the Milwaukee Lions, this ball club, did I hear right that they've got a pig pen or what the...
Yes, there's some kind of a fan section, right?
Yeah. They have a fan section above the broadcast booth that has gotten out of control, I think, in recent weeks or days or years. And they're are going to be right back here.
Do I understand them, General? You were saying that they
I heard they were taken. They were taken. They were going number one off the railing and number two.
I don't know, and I don't want to know. I
like the fuck. Are you kidding me?
I'd go up there with a flamethrower on those bitches.
Oh my God. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Larry Grover is with us in a moment to talk about the split in the Republican Party, is what he's calling it, because Larry feels they need to be more inclusive, and that's how he figures they're going to be more inclusive, by calling it the Republican, whatever. General Galen Shaw reminding you to visit our YouTube channel now with full shows. That's right, the world famous Phil Henry Show YouTube channel now features Phil in all of his glory, the entire show, from beginning to end, with Henry looking about as weird as any man, woman, or child could possibly be allowed to look and still be walking around upright and not being taken into custody, thrown into the back of a radio car, hogtied, and then pitched into a holding tank for a full 72 hours.
Whatever that means. Anyway, watch our YouTube channel, the world famous Phil Henry Show YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/realbuddickman. youtube.com/realbuddickman. I say again, and I say yet again,
youtube.com
youtube.com/realbuddickman.
What the hell is this? Is this more of that hop hip for the...
Yeah, it's hip hop, and it's Booby. Who the hell is that? Booby Black? Anyway, welcome to the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Joining us now from Culver City, California, as he's out making his morning runs. You're dropping off, Larry. I know what.
Right now, I'm dropping off the wedding invitations that I printed off for the Velasquez wedding. And
how many have you got?
Well, I've got probably about 1,000. And
God damn, man. The Hispanic people ain't got a lot of...
Watch it, bud.
No, I just said a lot of Hispanic people have a lot of weddings and everything.
No, Hispanic people don't have a lot of weddings. They got a lot of people they know, okay? What, is something wrong with that?
No, but...
You're always saying... Larry, you're always saying that...
I'm not always saying everything. I'm not always saying everything. Sometimes I keep my mouth shut. Sometimes I keep my own counsel. I'm not always on the air saying, God damn, do Mexicans have a lot of... Oh, I just said it.
Yeah, you just said it.
Sorry. I want to just say to the Velasquez family, I'll make it up to you. And as a matter of fact, all of these are free. Now I've cost my company.
Well, Larry, you're the one with the big bazoo.
I got the big bazoo. You guys are asking me about how come I got so many wedding invitations. What do you think I'm going to say? They got a lot of relatives. A lot of relatives.
Yeah, and they make a lot of babies, too.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so there we have Larry Grover, conservatives of Kern County. Welcome to the show, Larry.
Yeah, see, that's what you do, Henry, and you've been doing it so very effectively for lo these many years. You put me on the air as I'm taking my wedding invitations and the reception invitations around and dropping them off, hand-delivering these into some of the roughest neighborhoods.
Now watch it and calm down. Why don't you calm down, Grover?
Anyway, it's very, very hot here this morning, Phil. It's And actually, I don't think it's supposed to be hot, but I'm imagining it's going to be hot. What do you know what the temperature is going to be today?
It's probably going to be very cool.
All right, thank God, because I think it's going to be over 100 degrees. Generally, my mind is so strong, my imagination so vivid, that it could be a blizzard outside, and if I think I'm walking through the Sahara Desert, Jack, somebody get me a thimble of water. Someone get me an umbrella. I'm Larry Grover. I can't hang up.
No, I'm the one that locks out with my name, and not you.
Yeah, I can't even applaud it.
All right.
All right, so Larry, as long as you can't lock out, tell me about what you think is the current status there of the Republican Party in Congress.
Well, the current status right now is that we've got three guys who've gone rogue on us, like rogue elephants, just galloping and swinging their big elephant asses and knocking over tents and knocking over the bazaar and the kasbah, whatever the hell that we have set up out there in the middle of the beautiful, spacious and rolling sand dunes. And
what the hell are you talking about?
I'm trying to set up a picture here, General, if you don't mind.
General, sorry.
We have three rogue elephants that are swinging their big asses all over the place. One is named Peter King, the other John Boehner, and the other is Eric Cantor. And the three of them together have caused us no end of grief by opening their big yaps and talking about how we in the Tea Party, those of us in the, if you will, the right fringe of the party, I don't mind being called a right fringe member of the party. I don't think that means that I'm a goose-stepping Nazi. I think it means that I've got very serious concerns. I'm not a goose-stepping Nazi. I just have very serious concerns about Jews and blacks.
You're kidding.
Yes, I'm kidding. But I am. But I do have very serious concerns about, I won't say Jews and blacks, let's just say certain people that don't look like they belong in the room. Now,
well, Larry, this is not very, it doesn't bode well for your party when you have members of your own party saying that it's been taken over by the crazies.
Let the record show that was only stated by one individual. That was Peter King. Now, many of us have been waiting for Peter King to apologize. We're going on day, 21 since he said the party's been taken over by a bunch of crazies. And I haven't yet heard him say I'm sorry or anything even approaching that. And here comes Mother.
Larry, I just got into the car here at the last corner.
Yeah, I saw that. My mother was waiting for a bus, and I pulled up for a red light, and she got in. I was hoping you didn't hear it.
Jesus, why didn't you give your mother a ride?
I wasn't home. I didn't know where she was going.
I was going to take the bus over here to the Big Blue Whale on Melrose. I want to go over and look at the Mintemic Design Center.
What are you buying, furniture?
No, I'm just going to look at some. I want to look at some covering for the sofa because our cat ripped it to shreds.
We got a new cat, and the cat put its claws into this leather furniture that Mother had purchased, and it just ripped it to shreds. So Mother's going over to get some covers for the furniture.
And I'm looking for a little casket for the cat.
Oh, my God.
I'm kidding, Margaret. I'm just joking.
That's not a very funny joke.
Believe me when I tell you that when I came and I looked at the sofa and I saw the cat, I saw covering for the sofa and I saw the cat in a coffin. That was what I saw in my mind's eye.
Mother, that, you know, even a kid about that.
I'm not kidding, Larry. You know I was serious about it.
But you didn't act on it, and that's the most important thing.
Thank you very much, Dr. Dean. Drop me off up here, okay?
I will, Mother. I'm talking on the phone and I have to drop.
All right, just concentrate. Do you want to pull over, Larry?
Pull over and do what?
Concentrate on talking to us.
No, I'm fine. So what did you want to say, Mother?
I was listening, and so I decided when I saw Larry, I would hail him, and I'd get into the car. Yeah, I'm sitting in the back seat.
Yes.
And what do you mean, yes, yes?
Will you hurry up with the phone?
So I'm sitting in the back seat, and I wanted to say to Larry that the Republican Party, first thing you're doing, Larry, you're not going to get more black voters by calling him Republican.
Let me turn the phone.
Well,
what are you doing?
I'm wiping the spit off of it.
You're wiping the spit off of it?
I loogied on it.
Ah, shit. All right, Phil, go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Were you laughing at me?
No, I wasn't laughing. So, Margaret, you had a question?
Yes, so your mother made a very good point there. The Republican Party.
The Republican Party was my idea to rename the Republican Party, but give it a colloquial, to have it be known colloquially as the Republican Party. And the reason why we would do that is to maybe embrace more embrace more black voters. Okay?
Now let me hand the phone. I think that the idea is ridiculous.
Hold on. I want to talk to Larry, Gloria, please.
Fine. 1 second.
Yeah, thank you very much, Phil.
All right, well, we're a little bit, we're going all over the board here. I want to know, Larry, what is up with the split in the Republican Party, and then we can talk about you renaming it the Republican Party.
I didn't rename it.
No, I know. It's a nickname. But here's the thing. You've got members of your own party saying that there are crazies in this party. You've got members of your own party. This man, McCarthy, who is going to be, who might have been in line for the speakership, right?
Yeah. Now, you had to bring this guy up, didn't you? No, you had to bring him up, huh?
Well, it's important. This is a guy who said that that there was a lot of politics involved in the investigation at Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, see, that along with King and Boehner, we've got a serious problem, Phil. We've got some Republicans who they're not on board. They're not on board as to what it is we're trying to do. They're not going to come with us in these things we need to do.
Well, what are the things you need to do, Grover?
What are the things that... how about taking my country back from the socialist agenda of Barack...
Obama?
Yes, Obama. And just because I can't remember his name doesn't mean that I don't have great respect for the office of the presidency. And
no, hardly anybody cannot remember a president's name, even if they don't like him.
Is that right, Phil? And like who?
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, like who? Who is it that always remembers a president's name?
I don't ever remember anybody forgetting the name of the sitting president who's involved in a discourse on politics, even if he's an opponent.
What?
Just go, will you?
Come on, Larry. You know, as the kids say, we're burning daylight.
As the kids say. Now, the kids don't say that. Old men say that. What the kids say is, I got to jam up and jelly tight. They say I got a book. They say...
Oh, well, you just get going, and they don't say jam up and jelly tight.
Here.
Oh, Larry's all frustrated.
I'm trying to find this address.
Larry's looking for the Velasquez residence, then.
Where are you right now?
Where are we, Larry?
We're in the valley right now. We're in San Fernando, and I'm looking for the...
Larry believes, Phil, if I could just say this, Larry believes that the current agenda for the Republican Party should be the rollback of Obamacare. It should be, obviously, massive tax cut.
Tax,
tax is plural. Tax is plural. Taxes should be cut, but for the individual, it should be a tax cut.
No, Mother. Give me the phone.
No, I won't.
Give me the phone!
You know what? He sounds like he's losing it.
You are losing it, Larry. So Larry believes there shouldn't be a tax cut, and also a lot of other conservative stuff. You know, no more free meals for black cops, things like that.
What do you mean, no more free meals for black cops? What the hell is that, man? Talk about racist.
Nothing. There's nothing in the Republican...
Well, I don't know, Phil, but you...
There's nothing in the Republican Party platform that says no more free meals for black cops. I'm saying that the conservative agenda is the rollback of Obamacare. Get rid of this free... get rid of free trade, even though... I forget. There's a bunch of other stuff. I don't know what it is.
Right.
And in the middle of it, we have this guy... Now this guy McCarthy, you brought him up saying that there was politics involved in the investigation and in the criticism of Hillary Clinton. I mean, what are these people trying to do? They're trying to destroy everything that we've worked for.
But what if there was... What if there was a political agenda there at work?
Well, what do you mean a political agenda? Hillary Clinton was involved in an email server scandal. I don't understand what it means, and it doesn't matter. So long as we,
So long as all of you guys parrot the same line, even though you got a guy in your own party saying who's in line for the speakership.
Oh, look, General, don't pretend like you're Patton standing there in front of the press and you're trying to explain why you kicked the shit out of a GI. I'm talking about...
Watch the language.
Larry is very upset. Here's the residence here, Larry. Go drop off your...
I gotta get out and drop off these wedding invitations, Phil.
All right, Larry.
Larry is under a lot of pressure because conservatives of Kern County haven't come along in these things that they've got to do. And
what? Say who?
Yeah, we're talking about, like, the Tea Party?
Yes, the conservatives of Kern County are far too close to the middle of the road for the Tea Party. And here he comes now.
What were you saying to him?
I was just nothing.
What was she saying, Phil?
She was explaining the political position of the Tea Party, okay? And how it is different from conservatives of Kern County.
Oh, just right. Now, I'm trying to get credentialed for the forthcoming Tea Party convention.
Larry, you're under way too much pressure, brother. Way too much pressure.
Tell
me about it. What am I supposed to do? I sleep on a cot. I sleep on a cot. I say again, I sleep on a
cot. I know.
Yes. And look at, I'm looking at Hillary Clinton right now, claims to be the most transparent person in U.S. history. There's Rudy Giuliani, and, you know, he begs to differ.
His name is Rudy Giuliani. If you really do have respect for him, you'll get his name right.
See, I have a problem with people's names. I have a problem with anybody more powerful than me and remembering their names. Although I do remember Martha McCallum's name. Although
And she's more powerful than you. Thank you very much, Larry.
Larry Grover.
And I'm Gloria Grover. Drop me off here, Larry. Here's Whole Foods.
Oh, they're conservative.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Larry Grover, his mother, Gloria Grover.
Well, what do you make of that?
Well, I'll tell you what I make of it. The conservatives of Kern County are on their way out, man. They are in the history books. It's Tea Party or nothing.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows the Tea Party runs. If you talk about a conservative wing of the Republican Party.
What about that Republican? Would that get you to be a Republican?
Are you kidding me, man? I wouldn't be a Republican. I'm not even a Democrat, man. I vote independent.
Oh, that's the way it ought to be.
Yeah, bull crap. You're going to vote for any... You're going to vote for the black guy.
What do you mean I'm going to vote for the black guy, man? I'm not going to vote for Carson.
You're not voting for Ben Carson.
No, man.
Because Ben Carson's too much of a jackball. How about that?
Oh, wow. That's probably racist.
That's not racist.
No, man, ain't racist. That's just fact. Guy's a dumbass like you.
You're saying I'm dumb. I hope I am dumb like Ben Carson. I'd be way smarter than anybody in the room here.
Yeah, well, but just barely, man.
All right, so that's there is a very healthy exchange.
Well, I think what's going on with Larry is far more personal. I don't think it has anything to do with his conservatives of Kern County. I think it has more to do with the woman sitting in the back seat there grabbing the phone from him. You know?
Well, Margaret, you're finally seeing things Larry's way.
No, I have great respect and I have great sympathy for what Gloria Grover has been through. I have great sympathy. She lost her husband. Mentally, she's lost her son. She lost her son mentally, I think, about 10 years ago. I think Larry came unhinged about 10 years ago. And yet she perseveres. And why? Because she found a way to live again with Elcott the next step. I'm Margaret Gray.
Hey, Elcott.
Are you an Elcott fan?
I'm looking into it.
Holy Christ.
You're kidding.
I'm looking into it.
Holy Christ. Next thing you know, you'll be running around in some kind of a beanie. Running around in a beanie. Looking, what are you doing? Wearing one of those Buddhist...
No, it's got nothing to do with that. You know what, General? You are as dumb as you are. You're as dumb as you are rigid, conservative.
I'm as dumb as I am rigid, conservative, and wise with my diet.
As he sits there eating that slop, what is that slop this morning?
It's called chive cottage cheese. Slop!
I like chive cottage cheese.
I don't know. It looks like something that came out of a...
Uh-oh.
I didn't say anything.
He was watching.
Bud, if you open your mouth, you die.
You talking about that movie you're watching?
Never mind.
Yeah.
Don't you do it.
Well, now the audience is wondering.
It was an adult film.
Right, and something on the screen was...
Oh, shit.
Oh, man, are you kidding me?
I didn't say anything. You did, Phil. And you, Bud.
I didn't do anything.
You brought it up.
Oh, Jesus, man.
Well, look, I didn't make the movie.
Why were you watching it?
I wasn't. Frank was.
All right, and on that note, oh, man, I think I'm a loser. Ah.
Hey, Phil, you sounded just like Chef Carl Cedilia there for a minute.
Yeah, I'm saying you went out of a loser.
Yeah, okay. let's see. Well, just to remind all of you that we'll be back tomorrow.
Yes, we will be back tomorrow. And don't forget again to support the world-famous Phil Hendry Show podcast. Go to philhendryshow.com and support our podcast as thousands and thousands of others are doing.
We'll see you guys tomorrow, and don't forget to download the latest, the Milwaukee Lions and the Portland Logs.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.
Oh, I don't want to say Whitney Cummings will be in studio on Thursday, Science of the Funny. That won't drop for another week and a half, so...
Why even mentioning it now?
That's a good point.
She'll be in studio, though.
Yeah, she'll be in studio, you know.
The Will we be able to hear it?
Not for another week and a half.
But then the general's right. Why'd you even mention it?
Because I'm stupid. See you later.